The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Back, second hour of the show, coming up on 7:04, 67 degrees in Denver now, 69 in Aurora, much cooler weekend than the last few days here. And I give kudos to our one and only local newspaper, the Denver Post, for putting on their cover this morning. No, I did not buy it. No, I did not see it. Thank you, Alexa, for texting this quote.
It's one small step for man.
It really surprises me, and I give credit where credit is due because, you know, it'd be easy for the Denver Post to follow the lead of their mothership, and they're not related that I know of, the New York Times, who came out on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk with their piece on how the Soviet Union actually won the Space War. Just ridiculous how much people will contort themselves trying to take down America. Thank God we have a president who is so focused on exactly the opposite. Bunch of emails pouring in, appreciate it. I've got questions for U.S. Senator Cory Gardner, who will be with us next week. I believe it'll be in the 6 o'clock hour, still putting it together. The return of United States Senator Cory Gardner to wake up with Randy Corcoran after, so far, 1,568 days. I kid you not. That's when the Facebook page went up anyway. Email from Bill in Dallas. Really appreciate this one. Watched the video of your Western Conservative Summit speech. Great delivery. Relaxed, articulate, forceful. When are you announcing your candidacy? It's so funny, the people that ask me that question. I just don't think that's my place, my role, where I can make the most difference running for office. I don't see it. Although I hear we have a governor's race here in just a couple of years, but definitely nothing in 2020 for me. But thank you very much for that, Bill. And by the way, if you were not at the Western Conservative Summit, the speeches were so good. John Andrews, especially, perhaps one of the landmark speeches of his long and storied career, founder of Backbone Radio here at 710, founder of the Hillsdale Monthly newsletter, or not really a newsletter, the spreadsheet of their speeches and ideas called Imprimis. Absolutely free, by the way, if you're not a subscriber to Imprimis and you love the things we talk about on this show, you should get it. Just go to hillsdale.com, you'll find a link, or even just Google, don't Google, DuckGoGo Imprimis, I-M-P-R-I-M-I-S, founder of the Independence Institute, founder of the Centennial Institute, creator of the Western Conservative Summit. John Andrews was acknowledged last weekend, truly at his best. All of the speeches are available now at, you can just go to YouTube, find the Western Conservative Summit or Centennial Institute channel. If you're interested, if you weren't at the Western Conservative Summit and you're interested in the speech that I gave, it was really a lot of fun. I'd never been up there before. Been on the stage, was up there twice on Saturday. They acknowledged four grassroots leaders in Colorado, me and three other ladies, Kim Monson, Jan Cook, Joy Overbeck, and moi, up there with Jeff Hunt. It was really good because I'd been on stage before with Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots. When the summit was across the street, I had never been on this stage, and it really helped before I had to go up there and give my speech to walk out there and understand the layout, that you couldn't see anybody. You could kind of see vague figures of the 2,000 people that were there, but the lights so bright. Where's the clock? You know, where's the podium? all of those kinds of things. There was a much better comfort level. And they put me on after Michelle Malkin. Now, how in the world is anybody supposed to follow Michelle Malkin? She is so awesome. But the biggest blessing for me was the 2 or 3 hours I spent backstage in the green room with everybody coming in and out of there. Ken Buck showed up with Congressman Paul Gosar and Congressman Chip Roy. They've all said they'll come on the show with us, and we'll be working on that over the next couple of weeks. And Michelle was there, Michelle Malkin with her daughter, all of the great people from CCU, Colorado Christian University and the Centennial Institute. Brigitte Gabrielle was back there. Local heroes like my friend Representative Lori Sane. Just everybody. And to spend that time back there watching these people that do such important work in the state, nationally, still speaking up, speaking out, pushing back on the drumbeat from the left. Open the borders. Tolerate everything and everybody. You're a racist if you disagree with our radical leftist ideology now. It really, really felt good. But then they stuck me on after Michelle Malkin. So I had to follow her. Went out, did my 7-minute speech. Actually took me about 9 or 10 minutes. It was a total of 12 minutes, I think, by the time I introduced the final speaker of the night, the man with the eye patch, Navy SEAL, freshman Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw. What a hero. Also connected with his communications director. We'll get him on the show here sometime in the very near future. But it was a momentous event, and if you'd like to see the speech, I really came up with one issue that was absolutely not talked about at the Western Conservative Summit. And we'll be harping on it probably periodically on every show I do now going forward, at least talk about it for a few minutes, try and keep it in the back of your mind. And that is how we're not really paying attention. We celebrate these victories in the Supreme Court. Wow, a cross gets to stand up that was put up as a historical monument. Great victory for religious freedom. Sure, it's wonderful, and I applaud the lawyers that are fighting these cases, winning these cases. But if you actually read the opinion, it's no win at all. It didn't come out and say, look, the fact that there is a separation that has been created out of the clear language of the Constitution, which simply says that the federal government will not take part in the establishment of or the prohibition of the exercise, free exercise of your religion, that does not mean that you can't have a religious symbol in government. Go to the Supreme Court building, take a look at it. Go to the Capitol, go all around. Think about the history of opening sessions of Congress, sessions of the Supreme Court with prayer. But the opinion didn't say all that. It simply said, well, because of its historical significance, and it's been there a long time, and it was put up to be a monument to history, and it was this and it was that. Those aren't wins for us. We are succumbing to our black-robed masters, when in fact they are nothing more than a co-equal branch of the federal government. Chief Justice John Roberts doesn't have the right to conclude that he doesn't like the thought process or the reasons given by the executive for doing something or threatening to do something. They backed down, and I'm so disappointed in the president for this. They backed down from putting the citizenship question into the census. Now, you know, we've got a workaround. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get all this information, probably better information from all of the aspects of the federal government. You know, that's going to be blocked somehow. Because some federal district court judge, not even in the Supreme Court, some federal district court judge in Washington State or Hawaii or wherever it is going to write some kind of an injunction, find some kind of a constitutional or other prohibition, write an injunction, and the president and the executive branch are going to just get in line like good little puppy dogs and say, yes, master. Yes, Master Black Robe Judge. Where in the Constitution, where in the Federalist Papers, when the debates were going on how we were going to structure our federal government, where in the history of our court system did we finally somehow turn over all of our political and social decision-making and the directives that come out of the duly elected president and the entire executive branch, where did we turn that over to the whims of a single judge? I concluded in my speech, and you can see it at 710knus.com. Go to Wake Up with Randy Corporan, and that's where you email the show as well, big red button there. I concluded that I wished that the President of the United States had said, well, thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Thank you very much for that opinion. Thank you for acknowledging that historically the citizenship question has been in the census, that constitutionally and statutorily it is the job, the sole job. I read the statute to you a couple of weeks ago. The sole job of the executive branch to determine the makeup, the content of the census. Thank you for acknowledging all of that in your ruling. I understand that you don't like the reasons that my Secretary of Commerce gave, Wilbur Ross. Appreciate that. Here are my reasons now. And then gone ahead and put the census question, the citizenship question, into the census. Who's going to stop him? Oh, that's tyranny. You can't stop. No, it's not. It is co-equal branches of government. If people don't like it, guess what? There's an election next year. But these courts are muzzling the voice of the people. At the very least, even if the Trump administration and so many presidents before him are afraid to stand up, as Lincoln did, as Abraham Lincoln did, to the Supreme Court of the United States. Well, we're not ready for that. It'd be too disturbing. People would freak out. It might cost us the election. We're not sure we have the grounds or the ability or the right to do that. It wouldn't take long to figure it out. But even if that's what you think, stop kowtowing to an individual federal judge who writes, somehow takes to themselves the authority to write an injunction that doesn't just apply in the case that's before them, that doesn't just apply in the district where they are authorized to render decisions, interpret the law, issue orders, but applies all across the country and muzzles the executive branch of the government. This isn't the Supreme Court. If you're talking about co-equal, Congress, executive, judicial, certainly the Supreme Court would be what you're talking about there because, you know, we don't think that any person who's involved in the executive branch, some administrator, some bureaucrat, has the same authority as the president. Doesn't the same argument work for the court system? I am a trial lawyer. I'll be starting my 22nd year in November. Been in federal court, been in state court, municipal court, county court, district court, every court but the Supreme Court. I respect the role of judges. I act appropriately in court. I give deference to the decisions, even when I disagree with them. I'll make my record respectfully, sometimes passionately, and then I'll shut up and move on because that's the role of the judge in the courtroom at that time. It is not the role of a federal district court judge from Podunk, wherever, to write an edict that muzzles, that handicaps, that ties the hands of the executive branch. And it's darn close to time that President Trump recognize it and understand it, or the second term of his presidency will be as hamstrung, especially when it comes to the issue of illegal aliens invading our southern border. That's right. Illegal aliens invading our southern border. I'm not afraid to say it. They'll be hamstrung because these judges will continue to do it. Love for you to go watch the speech at 710knus.com. Really would. Let me just share. We've got a couple of minutes, and then we'll get back on more contemporary things that are going on. We'll maybe squeeze in a call here, too. These were the words of President Abraham Lincoln. I read these in some of them I read in my speech to the Western Conservative Summit last Saturday night. Abraham Lincoln, 158 years ago, his first inaugural. I do not forget the position assumed by some that constitutional questions are to be decided by the Supreme Court, nor do I deny that such decisions must be binding in any case upon the parties to a suit as to the object of that suit, binding on the parties, while they are also entitled to very high respect and consideration in all parallel cases by all other departments of the government. President Lincoln was talking about co-equal branches of government. If the Supreme Court comes to this conclusion, then yes, we in the executive, that ruling applies to that case, those people, those parties, we in the executive, a co-equal branch of government, should give that very appropriate respect and deference. Agreed. Absolutely. President Lincoln went on, and while it is obviously possible that such decision may be erroneous in any given case, still the evil effect following it, being limited to that particular case, with the chance that it may be overruled and never become a precedent for other cases, can better be borne than could the evils of a different practice. The different practice is what we have now. The Supreme Court says that you have a constitutional right to suck a baby out of the womb and into a sink. They found that in the emanations and the penumbras from the Constitution. One of the worst Supreme Court rulings I've ever read, just logically and legally. It's ridiculous. And we're supposed to give deference to a decision like that? Now, we are the subjects. If the Supreme Court says it's constitutional, we darn well, you know, be prepared if you want to make a social protest that there'll be consequences for that. But the executive branch is not bound in that same way. And by the way, President Lincoln was talking about Dred Scott, another one of the worst abysmal Supreme Court cases in history. Korematsu, where we locked up Japanese citizens of the United States while we were at war with Japan. That was constitutional. No, it wasn't. Dred Scott, a black man who had escaped slavery, our Supreme Court ruled could never gain his citizenship back. Why? Because he was of African descent. And even if he could, even if being of African descent wasn't an absolute bar to citizenship, according to the Supreme Court of the United States in Dred Scott, this particular former slave could not maintain his freedom because it would deprive his master of his property rights, his property interest in that slave. These are men, as we've seen from John Roberts, as I fear we'll see from Brett Kavanaugh, as we've seen through the history of the Supreme Court of the United States. They don't have any special, they're smart, they're accomplished, they've you know, focused their lives and committed their lives to the law. They've lived great lives, they've aspired, they've gotten there. God bless them. Very few people do. That's great. But they're human beings, subject to political pressure, subject to the whims of the society at the time, subject to being manipulated back and forth. And when we turn over this incredible ability to set social policy for the entire country and to bring to a screeching halt the thoughtful implementation of decisions by the executive branch, a co-equal branch of government, then we are absolutely submitting to our black-robed masters. I've gone on. We've got calls. I'm going to go to a break here in a second, so I hope the callers will sit tight. I promise we'll do phones right out of the break. But let me just close this part with a little bit more of President Abraham Lincoln 158 years ago. At the same time, the candid citizen must confess that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court, the instant they are made in ordinary litigation between parties in personal actions, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers. The people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that eminent tribunal, talking about the Supreme Court. Nor is there in this view any assault upon the court or the judges, and I said that at the start. It is a duty from which they may not shrink to decide cases properly brought before them, and it is no fault of theirs if others seek to turn their decisions to political purposes. The people will have ceased to be their own rulers. That's where we are right now. That was the piece that I thought was missing from the Western Conservative Summit. I really didn't decide until 2 or 3 hours before I got up there what I was going to address, because so many people were there talking about the war on socialism, the war on Islamism, the war on abortion, the war on the left and their control of the media, their efforts to silence us and take away our religious freedom, the overriding theme of the Western Conservative Summit. This is important. This may be right up there at the top of the list of the things that you and I need to be focused on, educating our government employees, the people that we elect to office. They are our employees, remember. They work for us. So you'll be hearing a lot about this in the days, weeks, and months ahead from me. Anyway, we do need to take our break. Line open at 303-696-1971. Frank, you'll be first out of the gate on the other side if you stay put. Either way, I'm Randy Corcoran. It's Wake Up here on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Let me play among the stars and let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Even our good old Denver Post. And thanks, Alexa, sent me a picture of the front page. They've got the quote, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Front page all about. Not all about Rockies on the top there. Coloradans played role in Apollo 11's moon landing. That's cool. I get it. I love it. And in about 2 seconds, we're going to jump to the phones, but I promised to play one more of these clips. This was Neil Armstrong coming down the ladder. It's short, so callers, sit tight.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. Okay, I just checked, getting back up to that first step. It's not even collapsed too far, but it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Can you imagine coming down that ladder 50 years ago today, not knowing when you put your foot down onto the surface of the moon what it was going to do, what it would feel like? Would your suit protect you from whatever was there? Was it soft? Was it hard? I mean, obviously we had ideas. We had unmanned touches on the moon and had ideas about everything that was going on up there. But man, oh man, it's just so amazing. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Frank in Denver's been waiting the longest. I see we've got Father Hugh. We'll get to him in a minute. Haven't heard from him in a while. Look forward to that. But Frank in Denver, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran.
Randy, thank you so much for what you do. You bring an unusual set of skills to the radio, and I really appreciate it. You're kind. You listen to people. You try to evoke their point of view before you comment. That's, I think, an unusual thing. I got a kick out of this is the 50th anniversary. That vignette I heard about Buzz Aldrin punching someone when he accused him of a lie. And I kind of think that's what Donald Trump is doing now, verbally and with his action. He's punching back. And I so enjoy that. And the left doesn't know quite how to take that. One of the things I wanted to point out was you mentioned the judges. I think you have to understand that this thing with the judges is a democratic leftist tactic to implant, like a tick, these people into our judicial system so that they can potentially block any executive action or other legislative action that they do not like. And so they remain like a tick, a blood-sucking tick, politic, drain on the system, and another little thing to try to defeat what the best thing or the will of the people might be in a democratic, Republican-type society. So I think we can never discount that, because the left has used a lot of tactics, perversion of the system, the legal system, by propaganda, parentheses, fake news, you know, to get their word out. And they're so much better at it. Trump has been the first one that countered this. I thought another cute little vignette was that Collins, the astronaut that remained on the thing, space thing, while the other two were out there in the fray on the moon, he was a little irritated with their moon dust that was all over their suits when he came back in. That's kind of a metaphor for our politicians wanting to control and watch from afar but not get in the fray and get upset with a man who's actually doing the job, Trump. So you got to get dirty. You got to do a few things, and you got to get into the fight if we're ever going to win this thing for the world.
I'll tell you, and there's no time like the present. I mean, you know, we've got, 15 months now, 16 months to election time. We've got important elections coming up November this year, ballot issues going around, all of that kind of thing. And it's great training for the 2020 election, but we have to reelect this president. Looks really, really good for us right now. Can you imagine him in a second term when he doesn't have to worry about reelection anymore? And, you know, maybe saying no to these out of control black robed master judges, or really going on the offensive against the left and everybody else. It really will be a lot of fun to watch.
It's almost like we need a scarlet letter on these people's forehead to see who either appointed them or what their real declared political leanings are, because then look and review their rulings, because they will trail along with their ideology. Now, we don't like to say that about the judicial system, but that is in fact true, I'm afraid, of a certain percentage. I think most judges, and hopefully you still respect most of them, are trying to do balanced opinions, but when it comes down to it, I'm afraid a lot of them still go with their emo and their heart and try to do, like Robert said one time in a speech, what he felt was the, quote, will of the people. And I'm afraid he does do that sometimes.
No question about it. Frank, great comments. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for weighing in this morning. Do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, about 25 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. We've got time for some more calls. We'll get to Father Hugh here in just a second. A lot of text messages have been coming in. This one is unidentified. Wow, I'm in total agreement with you and Dr. Marty regarding our president's disavowing the send her back. Yeah, it didn't sit well with me. It just, you can't back up against these folks. But we also agree that we get distracted by these non-issues and we stop talking about the illegal invasion on our southern border, the lack of committee hearings being held, not about the poor children who are being held in detention with their illegal alien parents, but about the American citizens that are being killed and maimed and raped and attacked by repeat offenders in our country with lawful detention orders, and a Speaker of the House who has the audacity to go on national TV and explain to these illegals how they can avoid ICE. It's just incredible. We don't talk enough about Islam and what it really means. We're definitely going to get to some of this sound from John Andrews in this hour. And do we need to get away from getting sucked up? Is that part of the leftist strategy, getting us sucked up into all these non-issues, non-events? They create events, but the only event that's actually happening is the one that they created to draw our attention away from the things that really matter. Man, oh man, these are big, big battles for us. And several people have said that the stream went down for a minute. They did not hear my AOC joke. So I am not a comedian. I am not a great joke teller. And I didn't make this up. It came to me from a listener, along with a text picture of a really cool car show. But I did like it. It was part of a meme. And you know how we all, the old knock-knock jokes and the old blonde jokes, you know, what did the blonde say to this and that or whatever. And the things that come out of AOC's mouth, and I admit, she's crazy like a fox. That's what I said before. She knows exactly what she's doing, drawing all this media attention. I think it's a losing strategy in 2020. I hope so. Crazy like a fox. But the things that come out of her mouth are so stupid that blondes are now telling AOC jokes. And a little sound effect there, whippersnapper. Ka-ding. Here, how about this one? Oh, that's not it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Anyway, that was the AOC joke. I hope it was worth a retell. Now, let's check in with the old friend, Father Hugh. Hugh, welcome to the show. Haven't heard from you in a while. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Yeah, you need a rim shot for that one.
Exactly.
I'd like you to ask Corey a couple of questions, and they're legal. The first is, and this is courtesy of Hugh Hewitt, for whom this is a hobby, judicial appointments. There are two vacancies on the Ninth Circuit and two on the Second. They've been hanging around, and nobody's doing anything, not the least of which Mitch McConnell, per usual. There may be a logjam in the White House. I would like you to ask Corey what he knows about this and what he can do about it. He'll say he can't do anything because it's the Judiciary Committee or whatever. But at least he has a duty to inform himself and us. And maybe he can nag McConnell.
Well, it's a really good point because this president is close to flipping the Ninth Circuit of all places.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's incredible. So what is the holdup? And why are you going home? Why are you taking a six-week break? Why are you not just driving this ship home while you have it is possible that Donald Trump does not get reelected. So why not burn the midnight oil day after day after day? And I understand people need breaks, need to be with their family. I'm all for that. But six weeks?
Not when it comes to issues of this importance. We go, you know, and it's a hot button for me. You know, they work about 3.5 days a week.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, stay in Washington. I have always had, and this is off topic, but I've always had a thought that, look, let's build ourselves in Washington, and I know there are height limits, but a bunch of apartment houses, luxurious apartment houses, and they all get an apartment and keep them there and with their families. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't help out the problem. But that's not my second question. Goes to, this is a bit in the weeds, but you know this, but most people don't. Congress has the ability to restrict, this goes to the subject of the nationwide injunctions. And, you know, Justice Thomas, in an opinion, has already said, we need a rule on something like this and cut it off.
Yes.
These business and whatever. But my proposal would be for Corey, introduce some legislation, at least get the ball rolling, which will confine the scope of a federal district court to his district. Congress can
phenomenal.
Do it.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal questions, and they are definitely on the list. And
okay,
excellent.
Well, I'll stand by, and you know, we'll listen and hope for the best.
Yeah, for folks who are wondering, what do you mean, Cory Gardner? It's been 1,568 days as of today since the Facebook page "Why Won't U.S. Senator Cory Gardner" went up. Come on, wake up with Randy Corporan. He will be back next week, probably in the 6 o'clock hour, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talk to him. Great questions, Hugh.
Yeah, I'll say a novena.
I know. Somebody wrote and said, hey, don't count your chickens before you hatch,
It's almost like Mueller appearing before the committee.
Yeah.
I mean, this is too much in the weeds, but you remember from law school the rule against perpetuities, and
sure.
It has a phrase, lives in being plus 21 years. I always use it to describe a situation which will don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel about Mueller. But anyway, let's be optimistic.
Well, I'm very convinced it's happening next week. I mean, an emergency could come up,
but
this is going to happen. Corey knows he needs to reach out to the Tea Party, to his constituents, the one who should naturally be excited about his effort
sure.
to get reelected along with winning Colorado for President Trump.
All he needs to do is say the word, and the people will rise up for him.
I think, just just let us remind yourself, remind us that you know we exist and that you care. You can have reasons for doing things with which we disagree. We can still respect you.
Fine.
Good stuff. Thanks for listening this morning. Appreciate it.
I throw a bouquet. Good for you for nagging him.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well,
all right,
credit where credit is due.
Excellent.
Bye.
Thanks, Hugh. All right, hadn't heard from Hugh in a while. That is great. And two good questions from Father Hugh for Cory Gardner. What would you like me to ask Cory Gardner when he makes his long-awaited return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran next Saturday? One came in by email. Randy, are you talking about the same Cory Gardner that threatened to block President Trump's judicial appointments from moving forward unless he got his way with pot enforcement in Colorado? Yeah, talking about that one. But, you know, what is the senator to do? His state voted to legalize pot. The federal government was threatening to begin enforcing federal law, imprisoning Colorado citizens, exercising their 10th Amendment rights under state law to engage in the commerce and the use of marijuana. So, you know, that's a tough line to walk. But I think if you are representing all the people in the state, many of whom are voters, by the way, that you probably stand up for them. And you know what, Ralph, with all due respect to how frustrated we get when we see and hear stuff like this, so much of this is politics. These people know what's going to happen, what's going to pass. There are conversations about it. Look, I can stand up for my people. You guys are going to back down. I look like a winner. Doesn't change anything that you're ultimately going to do. I don't know that that's all the case in this particular situation. But anyway, it's going to be a fascinating conversation. I expect to have Corey for 15 to 20 minutes next Saturday. So we'll get a lot done there. What questions would you like to have asked from U.S. Senator Cory Gardner? We've got one line open, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Late for a break. Hope to get to John Andrews' amazing speech. We've got some clips of it from the Western Conservative Summit last week, but definitely going to get to your calls when we come back on 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Apparently, we're moving away from the moon theme. Whippersnapper works for me. Really have enjoyed playing that audio for you, reliving those memories. I was a 9-year-old boy watching that on our black and white TV. And it was inspirational. Just no question about it. Just absolutely love it. And great questions coming in from listeners for U.S. Senator Cory Gardner when he makes his return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran next Saturday morning. Where does Cory stand on the red flag bill? That's a great one, Randy. We've got callers on the line with questions for Cory Gardner, which we will get to as well. And do want to mention a couple of things, though. Next week, I will be filling in for Peter Boyles in two ways. On Wednesday at the Centennial Gun Club, the first of what I anticipate to be many, many free classes on the red flag bill. So glad listener Randy texted in that question for Cory because it reminded me about it. The class next Wednesday is sold out. They only have room for about 70. I say sold out. They're absolutely free, but it's full. Absolutely full. And Pete was going to MC that. He had to beg out, so I will be MCing the event. We're already working on the questions for the panel, which includes my dear friend, State Representative Lori Sane, Dudley Brown from Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, a lawyer from U.S. The Shield Company, the insurance company, U.S. Law Shield. Tim Preeb, I believe, is the lawyer. Never met him before. Looking forward to that. May have Pat Neville there. I know they're reaching out to Pat. And, of course, our law firm does lots of gun cases. We're getting a ton of these DUI gun cases where people inadvertently take their guns through DIA, get popped, big civil fine, and you have to face a judge in Denver. When that happens, we know how to help you with that. But it's going to be very, very interesting. But the reason I'm bringing it up now, Dick Abramson is the owner of Centennial Gun Club, and what a rock star. He is so invested in the community, so focused on this issue, so well connected. Had a great sit down with him last week and learned more about him than I had known in the past. But these are going to be a monthly event. And there's another class already being booked, August 21st, 6 to 8 p.m., and there are only 20 or 30 slots left in that one. So get them while the getting's good. Go to centennialgunclub.com/Peter, centennialgunclub.com/Peter. Grab your free seat for the August 21st Red Flag Panel discussion. These are going to be fascinating, and just can't wait. And then I'll be filling in for Peter Thursday and Friday of next week as well. So plenty of time to continue to talk about these issues. Get your questions for Corey Gardner. And let's go to Eric. Eric's got a great question, I think, for Corey. Welcome, sir.
Hey, you great American.
God, it's good to hear from you.
You too, buddy. I'll never forget that fist bump in the parking lot at Save Our State. You are an amazing guy in your speech. I mean, you're an inspiration.
Oh, thanks, man.
But I would just, if I was Corey Gardner, I mean, Randy, I would like for you to ask Senator Gardner, you know, why not attend black churches? You know, because all of us black Americans, you know, I could speak for a whole bunch, Randy, because we are totally swaying away from the Democrats, because the Democrats are, you know, just pandering to these, all the illegals. And then it's just baffling. And then they are just causing, I mean, nothing but chaos in our country.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And Eric, we're going to run out of time here. I've got one more call I want to squeeze. And let me let you go and answer that to the best of my ability.
Can I say this last thing?
Of course. Dude? Yes, sir.
Okay. Always remember, God loves you. And so do I.
I love you, man. Thank you.
Take care. Okay.
Love that guy. You know, I imagine when Corey's a small town guy. And by the way, we talked about the Western Conservative Summit speeches. Corey's speech was excellent. No, did not mention the president, but it talked about the idea of America, freedom versus socialism, his small town values, his passion. I didn't see any notes up there. I'm told that he basically went up there and spoke from his heart. It felt like it. It's the kind of speeches I hope we hear and see from Corey Gardner between now and Election Day 2020. But it's available. If you go to YouTube, you can see all of our speeches. If you want to see mine, you can go to 710KNUS.com, Wake Up with Randy Corporan. But, I really feel like he is ready to embrace, reach out to, at least communicate with folks like you and me. And Joanne's got a great question for Corey Gardner as well. He'll be here next week, I believe, in the 6 o'clock hour. Joanne, thanks for waiting. Welcome. We've got about a minute.
Good morning, Randy. Appreciated meeting you at the Western Conservative Summit. My question is he going to have Trump come and stump for him here in Colorado? Because I think that would be really important to a lot of us who have felt that Democrats, Republicans have distanced themselves. I'm thinking of Mike Kaufman and some of those, as though Trump was an embarrassment when, quite frankly, their own records and sometimes their own words were an embarrassment to the party.
Well, that's a great question. I will certainly ask him when we talk to him next week. And we're up against the break, so I'll also give you a little background off air. Joanne, thank you very much for the call before we have to take our pause. And that is, it is my belief, my understanding, talking with Colorado State GOP, Gardner campaign, Trump Victory USA, Trump plans to win in Colorado. Trump has given his endorsement already to Corey Gardner. Corey Gardner and the president talk a lot. President Trump will be here in Colorado, and I would be shocked to not see Corey and the president side by side when that happens. So, I guess the proof will be in the pudding, and we shall see. I shall not be Charlie Brown running to the football and Lucy pulling it away. Eyes are wide open. But I'm also an optimistic guy, and I've got a lot of background, a lot of people I talk to, a lot of inside information, so that's the hope. Let me tell you about the 8 o'clock hour. Yesterday on the Stephen Tubbs Show, we really reminded you about the importance of Tabor with Michael Fields, ColoradoRisingAction.org, I believe. I'll clarify that on the other side. Jack Tate and Owen Hill, Colorado State Senators, both talking with Jared Polis about a special session and maybe revising referendum CC. And I think it's a bad idea, but Senator Jack Tate, my state senator, he will be here in about a half an hour to talk about his thinking on that whole idea. I give him tremendous kudos for that. So stay with us, 303-696-1971. Wake up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.